What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
So check this out, y'all. The other day, Funky Dineva, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly, came to social media and dropped this atomic, I don't even know what else to say about it, on his page. And he said that straight black men are the true problem in the black community, okay? Straight black men are our problem in the black community. And I'm gonna share something with you. Who paid you? Who paid you? You understand what I'm saying? Because we don't want to call a spade, but our problem are not straight black men. Straight black men have gatekeeped manhood. They have gatekeeped manhood better than straight black women, okay? Because if we had gatekeeped womanhood like we were supposed to, would nobody from the rainbow community have the mouth to get in here and say they look better than straight black women when they put on a dress. They look better than straight black women when they put heels on, they put makeup on. They would not have the mouth to say anything. We do not call a spade. Straight black women, not all of us, but we don't have the mouth to call a spade. We'll quickly tell somebody from the rainbow community, girl, you look good, and it's a man. We'll tell them, you look good. You look good in that dress. You look good in those heels. You look good in that makeup, and we know we lying. We know we lying. The problem in the black community is that we don't know who is the head. And we don't want to know who's the head. We're the only community that since the beginning, our numbers have not grown. Since the 70s, maybe by 1%. We don't know what family is. We don't know who's the head because we don't want to know. Our children are running amok because there's not a man at the helm that is in his right mind. We are choosing men who are not worthy to have children. Nobody wants to talk about that. Children are being raised by only women, and men are nowhere around to be found because the men you have slept with are not men of substance. They are the Pookies and Rerays of our community. Let's talk about how some of our sisters and brothers who have had babies by men who are Pookies and Rerays, where this bloodline should have died off many years ago. Let's talk about that. But we want to sit in here and say straight black men are our problem. Let me share something with you. Straight black men are holding the community together. And once they let go, the black community will die. I said it. The black community will die. Straight black men are your coaches that talk to these kids. Straight black men are the guidance counselors that talk to these kids. Straight black men are the good pastors and deacons who talk to these children. Straight black men are the men that come to the community and want to take the children to a good area like going camping. Want to take them fishing. Want to take them to amusement parks to let them see the other side of our community that's good. I'm getting tongue-tied because I'm so upset. There are so many straight black men that want to see the community thrive. But then y'all getting in here talking about, oh no, the straight black men are our problem. The young boys who are being raised by their mama alone are our problem. We want to refer to the young man who dropped that lady, the young lady on her head in New York. What he did was evil. But I want you to understand, when these boys are not raised by their fathers, they are a nightmare. If the mother has no control over the child will grow up to do nonsense, even if it's a boy or a girl. But we want to sit up here and blame straight black men for everything. And mama, the uncomfortable truth is that's who you chose. We are choosing men who are not of substance. That's our problem. The Most High gave women a job to do, and the job is to choose who is the right man to have children with. Now y'all want to get out here, oh, I didn't know he was like that. Oh, I didn't know he behaved like that. Because you want to know why? You gave him this first. That's why. Let me do it a little slower so you understand. You gave him that first. And that's why you didn't see the red flags. A person that's hiding behind something, they cannot do it for 2 to 3 years. That means you not paying attention, sis. Everything that looks gold ain't real gold, honey. But we got the mouth to get up here and blame straight black men. But we're not blaming the men who get in here and wear dresses. We're not blaming the men who get in here and wear makeup. We're not blaming the men who get in here and act like they're a woman. We're not blaming them, though, right, in our community. We're not blaming them. Now, I know my content may not go well with everybody, and I don't give a damn. I don't care. But you can't get up here and just blame black men that they're the problem. Straight black men. When the two front rows of our community are Pukisha and Rakisha, and all they do is nonsense in our community that make us all get roped up together, that we all evil, that we don't take care of our children, that we don't govern over our kids because of the two front rows of our community. Let's call a spade, Funky Dineva. Let's call a spade, baby. Take heed to the message. So check this out, y'all.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and I am glad that you're here rocking live with the 215 on this yet again Philly Friday, Philly Friday's edition. Let's give it a... All right, let's give it another one, you know what I mean? Well, I already gave y'all one. But y'all already know, you locked in. You just can't move now. And a lot of y'all, once again, before I go too far, remember where you're checking in. You're checking in at the Fet Life Station, at FetLifeStation.com. You know, so you also are going to catch us on some of your streaming and podcast apps on the True Stories Podcast Network. That's the True Stories Podcast Network. All right. So yeah, let's finish it off. And you know it's funny, right? Because I can imagine if you're listening to this, you've already heard. There is a social media influencer by the name of, I believe is, Let me see. Let me make sure I get the name right. Funky Dineva. Okay. Because I've only really paid attention to this person's. I've only seen bits and pieces of this person's social media out there in the atmosphere. So, apparently, but I did recall seeing a clip of this person with Claudia Jordan, and I believe they had a show called TGIF. Now, I'm not sure if that was on Fox as well, because I know there's like a Black Fox station, or they call it Fox Soul. So, but I'm going to come back to that part, because that's relevant for what we're talking about. But the reason why I brought this person's name up is, I believe this is a person from the LGBTQ community, and he made a statement that went viral, and he stated that straight Black men are the cancer of the Black community. Hold on, you gotta get another one. And so the sister here was responding to what he was talking about. Now, apparently this video that he put out recently was based on the fact that there was a clip of high school students that had gotten into a fight. And there was a Black male who was considerably bigger than his female classmate. And I believe it was a Latina young lady. And then he body slammed him. That's indefensible, you know, in terms of a response. We would never endorse that type of response. So I want to be clear about that. And I'm sure that he's dealing with a lot of, repercussions for that action. But I also want to get into something else that's not been projected correctly. So apparently the story is that this young man had asked her for her phone number. She rejected his advances and he body slammed him. Well, apparently his mother had come out and stated that was not the case. I think it's funny though. So let me get to where I got before I tell you why it's funny. The mother stated that this young lady had been spewing racial epithets at this young man for months, that she's been up to the school to ask if this young lady can be removed from the classroom. And I guess that was the day the straw broke the camel's back. Once again, we're not endorsing what he did. Nobody is going to say the young man was correct in his response to that situation. But I find it odd that it's believe all women until the woman says something that goes against a narrative that's so readily accepted. Because there's been plenty, not just Funky Dineva, there's been plenty of people out here who have used that situation to speak to Black male violence in the community and how it's out of control. And so I was glad that this sister actually spoke up to one of the things that goes unsaid. As she said, we don't like calling a spade. We don't want to address how the women are choosing the men that sire their children. How these are Johnny Bilates and you know, Rolling Stones in many cases. How there's been no agreement in terms of the raising and rearing of these children. And so there's no contract. Now, while I do not indulge and I do not support absentee fatherhood, we don't speak to the fact that when the fathers do want the children and the women choose to delete them, the argument becomes my choice, my body, my choice. It's just, you know, and as especially specifically as black men, we understand. Straight black men, we are in trouble every time we open our mouths. Everything we say that speaks in support of logic or in support of a stance of a straight black man is seen as misogynistic. So, while let's look at something else, because I know y'all want to get into the other part, but I want y'all to listen to something first, and this is something that speaks to the current situation and condition we're in right now. All right, and I'm glad that this the one sister she addressed black women, because there's been this unholy alliance between black women and black and gay black men or the LGBTQ, where they see black straight black men as oppositional and they see us as the enemy of all things good. So I'm glad she addressed that matter, because that's also one of the things that's become taboo over the years. All right. There's no consequence for anybody openly saying that black men are the enemy of their communities. Not to mention that when black women want to insult black men, the first thing they do is call us gay. I promise you, there is so much I want to talk about and so little time. So let's get into it. Hold on.
Wasn't in the home, so you know it really, male figures not substantially important in the family.
Would you have had these kids if you'd thought about them in advance?
No.
All were an accident.
Yeah, you can say that.
Raise your hand if you're married.
Now, I want y'all to be clear about something. You just asked the brother. Y'all heard what the young sister said. These are high school students. This is 1986. Y'all have heard this clip before, but I feel like we always, every once in a while, we need to rehash it. Where she said that black men, males are not important. They're not relevant in terms of how of the family. Where they asked one of the young men, this dude has like 5 children, right? Asked him, were the children, you know, born by accident? And he said, yes, all of them. If he had a choice, he wouldn't have had any children. Let's just keep that in mind, because we always find excuses when we say about talk about the young ladies who get pregnant. We never seem to say that the young man was young. The man was young as well. The male was young as well. All right. He is supposed without no guidance, right? Because we've all acknowledged that in a lot of these homes, the male presence is not there. Right. So with no real guidance, you know, he gets to go outside and play all day. He doesn't get to learn the processes of being a man. Right. But he has a ding-a-ling. Right. And many of y'all don't know, but throughout this documentary, one of the reasons that the girls were getting pregnant by him because they said they liked the way he walked because he was bow-legged. I'm just saying, this is the immaturity goes both ways here. That's what I'm identifying. Hold tight.
None of you are married.
This is the CBS documentary, The Vanishing Family, A Crisis in Black America. It first aired January 25th of this year, 2 months ago. The report is an unflinching look at trouble in black urban America. It is a controversial report. It has been admired, contested, hotly debated. The Vanishing Family delivers a message that is plain spoken and to the point. Within the inner city, black teenagers are trapped in a cycle of unwanted pregnancy and illegitimate birth, unemployment, and welfare. Many lead subsidized lives with subsidized children in subsidized housing. It is a portrait of despair. This morning, we present a special edition of Night Watch as this story continues to unfold. You have watched this broadcast of uncommon impact, and you have responded by the thousands. In this hour, we'll find out why, and we'll hear more about what one black community had to say. A church in Northwest Washington, D.C., a mile from the Capitol itself. It is Palm Sunday morning. There are 5,000 members of the Shiloh Baptist Church, affluent and middle class and poor, entrepreneurs, and welfare mothers, the doors of Shiloh open wide. We have come to the Shiloh Baptist Church to talk.
And I'm going to stop it there. But y'all heard what you needed to hear from this particular, broadcast in regards to what happens with the families and so forth. And, you know, unfortunately, we're not able to. I'm trying to find the clip. Apparently, they, this is the clip that didn't include that. So my apologies, too, for that, because I wanted to make sure y'all actually heard the young girls talking about what their desires were. But y'all heard it. Y'all already heard it in there. And I wanted, I wanted it to be a little longer, but hey, whatever. So one of the reasons that, and it took me forever to find these clips, so I apologize again for that. YouTube has gotten real funky with this. You have to actually go to Google to Google the title of the exact title of what you're looking for, or they just hide it all over the place. Trust me. But that was just to speak to, you know, some of the things in terms of like, the rearing of children and the lack of guidance for both the females and the males in the black community. But we don't talk about it from that perspective. We always talk about it from the perspective of, you know, the female needing aid and assistance, but we always vilify the young black male. And I find it very, very concerning that we can consistently use terms like cancer. We can consistently use terms like dangerous to describe black males or black men in the black community, when we don't talk about the lack of resources there or the fact that maybe this is the design of this particular society. You know, nobody speaks to the fact that when you talk to people who do grassroots work in these communities, how there are always trains that pull up in empty lots in these communities full of guns, artillery, full of weaponry, military grade weapons that are just in some sort of lot. And the cars of these trains are always unlocked. And for some strange reason, there's always some form of some sort of report. I mean, where do you think they get guns like Draco's? And where do you think they get all of these fabricated weapons from? In many cases. Right? So hold tight, man. Because I'm hot about this. But let me actually let y'all hear. And shout out to the Crimson Cure. Kendra Ding, who, not to be confused with Kendra G, who does the dating show. I want y'all to listen to, because here's the clip. She was able to clip it up and find it. You can't find this damn thing anywhere without people putting the type of music behind it that'll get your channel flagged. So hold tight. I want y'all to hear this real quick.
It has now come to the time that we have a conversation. I've been saying for years on this show that black men need to have a conversation, black men alone. We have got to figure out what is going on with us. This is not something that black women can help us with. This conversation does not include black women. Black women, stand down and stand to the side. Black men need to have a kumbaya amongst themselves, and I'm gonna niche this out a little more. And it's heterosexual black men. I'm gonna catch a lot of flack for this, but I'm gonna say it out loud with my whole chest. Straight black men are the cancer of the black community. That's where it starts and that's where it stops. Ladies, I'm here to tell y'all something. All this shit that y'all got going on, some of y'all, not all of y'all, with the gays and with the trans, let it go. Your issue is not a trans woman. Your issue is not a punk or not a sissy. Your issue is all of our issue. Straight black men. Straight black men are the enemy to the gays. Straight black men are the enemy to the trans. Straight black men are who are causing harm to the girls and the women. That's where it's at. Now, y'all can shoot the messenger. Y'all can call me all type of faggots on the Shade Room and all the other blog sites that's going to pick this up, and I'll eat it. But you'll never see a situation where girls and women walking around saying they scared of the gay boys. They scared of their life for the gay boys. They don't want to be around the gay boys. It ain't us going around with these fragile ass egos, can't take rejection. We've got to ask ourselves, and I don't even know if the black straight male collective can even answer this question, because their egos tend to be so fragile. How is it we are raising boys with these fragile ass egos that feel it is okay to slam girls on their head for saying no? Why is it that we have to make the females of the community make all the adjustments? It's not fair. Straight black men are the cancer of the black community. Argue with your mammy. Ladies.
Now, that was, let me see if he was finished. Okay. Yeah. So that is the speech that the soliloquy that he put out a few days ago, and it has gotten a response from just about everybody. I see most of the black women saying, where's the lie, this, that, and the other. Then we also have some sisters like the one who spoke about this before. And you know, this is, you know, I'm going to go back to something Brother Tommy J. Curry said. This is hate speech and far too common in the United States. And not a single reply from white liberals or black academics, because this is the same shit they support from feminists and racists. How does a member from a group within a historically higher rate, of interpersonal violence partnership violence justify this claim towards straight black men? In other words, all of these statements that are coming out, there is not a single fact. These are pretty much all situations in which you can compare. When you make these comparisons, all of these situations are anecdotal experiences. They're mischaracterized. Like I said, he pointed to the young man whose mother clearly stated that there was not a situation where he was being rejected. Now, I've seen tons of videos where women are out here, and even some, you know, feminist men, all right, male feminists are talking about how the how this was over a young man who couldn't handle rejection. And, you know, I think it's fun. It's quite, you know, interesting how when we can point out the violence, like just a few weeks ago, you know, we were pointing out the violence of women harming their husbands and harming their boyfriends and harming black men. And the first question women ask is, what did he do to deserve that? But so there's a human response to it, right? She's being humanized. There's a rationale. We're trying to figure out, like, no normal person would just act this violent. But then when it's a male or whatever, it's because that's in his nature. When it's a black male, that's just who they are. Especially if you're a straight black male. And I find it ironic because it seems to be that this has been the marching orders, or this has been the mission from this guy, Funky Dineva, for a long time. There's videos and clips going back 5 years ago about him with this same conversation. He phrased it a different way. He framed it a different way. But this very same conversation in regards to his barbershop experience. And, you know, talking about being a gay male in a barbershop where straight black men were having conversations about what masculinity was, what manhood was, and things of that nature. And basically he was really speaking about how he didn't fit in. And I think that's another issue that we don't talk about or touch on enough. We don't touch on the fact that in places where straight black men actually have autonomy to be in a safe space for them to talk, we don't talk about how everybody wants to invade that space. We got the black manosphere, and the black manosphere is full of black men talking, but it's also full of black women. Some women are not even black. You know, what was the girl, Pearl? She was in so-called the black manosphere. These people are, so the black manosphere space is not a space where black men can have their own autonomy. But you got passport bros. Do you know that where American black men are traveling the globe and they're having different experiences with different women from different cultures? And they've been talking about the difference in terms of treatment. Do you know black women have followed black men to some of these places? To Colombia, the Dominican Republic, to the Philippines, and trying to chastise these men or try to poison the women there against the men. The same rhetoric, the same hate speech towards black men. We don't talk about that. Shout out to TSI Johnson and BGS Itmore for having the conversation. But this part of Funky Dineva's rant, where he says black women have never had to worry about gay black men. Maybe we need to refresh your memory, family. Let's go back to the 80s when you had on Oprah Winfrey, Phil Donahue, all these different programs where they talked about this so-called undercover brother, right? The dynamic, right? Undercover brothers, right? These brothers that would have poker night. And while they're having poker night, they're out there sleeping around with each other. And so women were worried about catching HIV at that particular time because of the numbers being higher in the homosexual male community. All right? That's the time when they were actually worried about whether or not their husbands were gay. You have women now in Atlanta talking about be careful if you marry a man because he might be sleeping for the other team. He might be playing with the other team. So what does that sound like? In terms of, just black men having that conversation. You say black men, we need to have a conversation. I got news for you. Black men have been having conversations. We have those spaces where we actually talk. We have those spaces where we actually have, I even supervise a group of brothers every week. And it's a safe space because it's only occupied by black men. And even then, I had somebody say, hey, can I come to one? I just want to see what y'all talk about. I might be interested in hosting one of these. And no. 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 It's like, damn. Black men don't have anywhere that we can't. You can't even go to the barbershop now because women are hanging in the barbershops. And every time I ask a woman, what happens when you walk into the barbershop? She says, I don't know. The brothers, they don't say anything. It gets quiet in the barbershop. I said, do you want to know why? I said, because you disrupted their cipher. You go into a barbershop, men are not going to talk the same around women. They're not going to talk the same. They're not going to have the same viewpoints and ideas. And I'm not even saying it's highly intellectual. But it's a place where a man gets to put down his shield a lot of the time and just have a conversation with his brothers, a bond, black men. And I don't know why. I know why The dominant society doesn't want to see it. But black women, why do you not want to see the synergy of black men who can actually work and bond together in a place where they find harmony from? In a place for which they can feel good, the warmth of sharing and being in loving environments with other brothers, straight black men. Y'all don't mind if it's gay black men. And I don't really care if gay black men, you know, have that bond in their community and with their brothers. And the thing I'm saying is there are very few places where black men get to actually be somewhere where they can be men. And it not be curated in sports. It not be curated in nonsense about who's the greatest rapper of all time. It's not curated in, you know, folklore or comic book discussions. Not to say we can't have those conversations, but we know we have those conversations because those conversations are safe in polite company. We don't have a space. So when we create space, we create some elbow room. There's always somebody trying to crash the party. But that's neither here nor there. I remember Funky Dineva, and this is specifically where I remember the name from, and I can't find the damn clip. That's what literally caused me to not be able to dig into the other clips that I had on standby. Because not only were they hard to find, it was impossible to find the conversation he had with Claudia Jordan about 5 years ago when he was talking about how gay black men and straight black women were allies against straight black men in the black community. And I'm like, damn, they can literally say that live on TV and nobody checks them. Nobody calls this out. And that's when we know this is not something that only is acceptable here. This is acceptable in all the academia and all the academia. This is something that is acceptable in political landscapes. This is something that's socially acceptable in damn near every house in the black community. This is why you can have groups of black women go on, get on the air and talk about, you know, they have open meetings with the Ku Klux Klan about exterminating black men, putting black men in their place, and removing us from the planet. Can openly have conversations about death. Like, our value in our own community by those who supposedly look like us and share a similar genetic profile, which have so much animosity and harm, and it doesn't take much to get you there. And that's the scary part. So while this whole conversation about, you know, that's being germinated by Funky Dineva and whatnot, we can already see from a mile away he has an agenda. As the sister who first spoke about it, who sent you? Who paid you? We know it's very profitable to take and aim and launch Scud missiles and attacks on black men, straight black men specifically. And I don't even think he realized that he removed himself from the conversation in his rant, saying as black men, we need to handle this conversation. When the numbers don't support any of the things he's talking about, less than 1% of black men commit any crime whatsoever. So 99% of black men have to face the crime, have to face the consequences for the 1%. So we have to deal with the exception and not the rule. Then we also have to deal with some of these statistics that have been out here that are outdated. More black men are in jail than in college. That's a false statement. You can't even house enough black men in jail to equivocate that number. And while there is definitely, you know, more black males per capita in jail than our percentage of black people or black black in terms of, in regards to the prison population. You know, there's a lot of brothers that are in jail right now for crimes they didn't commit. We don't talk about how certain segments of our society can weaponize and use tactics of blue leashing to incriminate and have black men put in jail in handcuffs. How when a black male or a black man is on probation, how that's weaponized against him within his own home. We don't like to talk about how black proxy violence, that when you go to prison and you ask a lot of these brothers how they got to prison. As a matter of fact, hold up, man. There was something earlier that I saw. Let me see. It was something earlier, a clip earlier from a sister right here in Philadelphia that I saw earlier. And I want y'all to hear this. So check this out for a second. Hold on.
I'll never forget.
Hold on. 1 second. I want y'all to hear this. Check this out in terms, and then let's go into the violence again.
I'll never forget when I was in the 11th grade in 1999. One of my classmates was shot right in front of Martin Luther King High School. Because he called this girl out her name during lunch. During lunch. And when we were dismissed, she called her brother and her cousin came up there and shot him in the chest. And by the time he got to the hospital, he lost his life. I will never forget this. This was the first funeral I ever been to where I saw somebody my age in a casket. Messed us up. We just couldn't believe that he was just at lunch with us, playing around. We were having a good time. We were laughing. We was jerking. He got into an argument with a girl. He called her out her name. He didn't put his hands on her. He called her out her name. And instead of going to the principal, she called her brothers, her brother and her cousin. And they didn't come up there to fight him. They came up there and shot this young man. 16 years old. All I could find.
And she's pointing to a small clip in the newspaper. And I remember those because when family members of mine was murdered and killed in the city of Philadelphia, it would be called the city briefs. And you would get maybe about a paragraph and a half that detailed the issue, the situation. And then it would basically talk about where, it would identify the event where it happened at, and then it would identify, it would give you a little bit about who the person was, right? You might get a sentence and a two sentences about who the person was. So she's identifying that. Now, Funky Dineva says something about the fragile male ego. Now, let me explain something what a fragile ego looks like. A fragile ego looks like every situation that occurs to you, anything that happens to you, is warranted of a death sentence. In other words, you're to be sentenced to death because somebody hurt your feelings, somebody said something, it might have been harmful, it might have been hurtful, but does the punishment ever fit the crime? Now, I'm not speaking to, I'm not dismissing the fact that our family members came up there and actually, used gun violence. You know, her cousin and her brother came up there, and her cousin was the one actually that pulled the trigger. I'm not arguing to that. I'm well familiar with the neighborhood. What I am speaking to, though, is the fact that the phone call was made in the first place. The phone, because, you know, when I see, this is another form of blue leashing. This is called pit bullying. Well, they're not blue leashing. This is a pit bullying. When you sick another brother on another. And there's a lot of brothers in jail right now because of situations like this. As you can see, there's also brothers in the cemetery right now for situations like this. But we don't acknowledge the female's role in this violence. How about all the women that backdoor that enjoy or become part of gang violence by setting other men up, setting other young males up or young men up, calling them to meet them to a location with the promise of sexual exploits only for somebody to come out of the bushes, or somebody to come from behind the house, or somebody to be sitting in a parked car, set them up. They call that backdooring. We don't address those matters. And this is, you know, the things I'm talking about right here. And I want to address something else that Funky Diva spoke about with the Shade Room. The Shade Room is never, to my experience, been run or controlled by men. So why is it that now you talk about being called all these inflammatory names, all these derogatory names? All, you know, why do you address that from the standpoint as if black men are the ones calling you out of your name, calling you those derogatory terms? Why? You see, it's like, you know, you chose that one situation of the young man and the altercation you got into the classroom. And then you tried to point out everything bad or negative that has happened to you based on the fact that you are an influencer. And good Lord, I did not know how popular you were until I tried to find some footage on social media, and it was like finding a needle in a haystack full of needles. You know, I give you credit for being popular, but then to say that the terms that was used from the Shade Room and this, that, and the other, put that blame where it belongs. Stop trying to pin the tail on black men. We, you know, specifically straight black men, we have no role or responsibility in any of those things that happen in regards to that. Unless you can identify a specific black journalist from the Shade Room that actually called you those names. Until then, stop trying to paint us with that broad brush.
A little clip in the newspaper. Just a little clip. Don was so funny. Oh my God. We would be cracking up at him at lunch. I just always wondered how his life would have been if somebody didn't cut his life short because he called her a name, which easily he could have just apologized the next day. But he didn't get the chance to. He didn't get the chance to apologize. He didn't get the chance to go to the principal office and they talk it out and squash it. No. She called her brother and her cousin and they didn't come up there to fight. I will never forget this. This is what I mean when I say stop calling y'all family when y'all get into something. Alert the authorities wherever you are, whoever's supposed to be in charge, or call the police. This little article, that's all I can find on his life. His murder was senseless. R.I.P. Don. Forever 16. Gone, but definitely not forgotten.
16 years old. And we talk about this. And so this is the violence. So Funky Naniva, yes, this is the violence you were referring to, right? Because in the newspaper, it's just going to say, you know, young black male shot by two assailants. Two identified young black men were running from the scene. We're never going to identify or address. And I saw in the comments section, people was asking, well, what, you know, was the girl arrested too? And then some people were actually confronting that. Some people were responding, asking, well, what did she do wrong? And then you had some other people asking, well, or saying that, you know, you got to be careful out here. Some people don't play about their people. Like, what is that supposed to? And those are mostly women that were saying that in the comment section. You know what? You know the type of auxiliary power you have in society, specifically in the country with the history of targeted black male deletions. That comes from law enforcement. When you can identify the fact that a phone call, not just to your family, but to law enforcement, is a way of putting that other person in check. Now, I'm not saying if you're in an abusive situation and if somebody's threatening you for your life, by all means, do whatever you need to do. This young man called this girl out of her name. I'm not sure what he called her, because it was never stated. Or if it was, you know, it went by me. But his life is gone because of the fragile ego of that young lady. And I'll acknowledge the same. Like you say, who's raising these boys? Why was one of those boys home? Like, why wasn't that boy at work? Why was he there to like home to answer the phone? You know, cell phones had just really started to become a thing back then. Not everybody could even afford them back then. Why? Who raised him? Who raised them? And these are questions we don't want to answer, because we never want to acknowledge that people have autonomy in their lives. People have dominion in their lives. And therefore, when you make choices, sometimes your choices become, you reap the consequences of those choices as well. And that includes who you choose to father your children. You hear about some of these young rappers out here. A lot of their mothers were nurses, were teachers. A lot of their mothers had good, upstanding jobs. But their fathers? Who are they choosing for fathers? The neighborhood gangster. The neighborhood thug. The neighborhood's I smoke ya. And not to bring this young man up. He lost his life about 5 years ago. A rapper by the name of King Von out of Chicago. But when you look to his mother, King Von's father was a gangster. He was so feared in Chicago that somebody caught him coming out of a skating rink and with a sniper's bullet took his life. In other words, they was so scared of this man that they didn't even want to confront him to take his life. They didn't trust emptying a barrel into him from 2 feet away. They had to literally be hiding on a rooftop or in the bushes somewhere to take this man out. That's who his mother chose to be the father. The young rapper down there in Florida that got murdered a few years ago. What was his name? Julio Fulio. His mother chose a gangster. His father, Julio Fulio's father, was a gangster. He got murdered by a man who he beat to a bloody pulp just about an hour or two before that happened. That man came back by the house. They sitting down watching the fight. That man got up, walked behind the couch, and shot that man in the back of his head. Once again, could not face him. That's how dangerous that man was. Julio Fulio's mother used to host all the gang members in her house. You talk to some of these gangsters, their mothers will host all the other little gangsters in their homes, knowing that they were all part of gangs. We don't want to talk about that, though. If she would have just had some help, sometimes you got to choose to help. It's all choices. And we don't want to, and we always want to give the caveat that she was young. Well, then so was he. And so when we have these conversations about the cancers in societies, the cancers in community, remember what the sisters were saying. I can't tell you how many children I have fathered without being the bloodline father in my 51 years on this planet. Have been an influence, have been a model to, have been the person to hold them accountable. Even now, when I talk to these young brothers, How many football coaches, when I go to the track and I go walk around the track, how many men are out there working with hordes of children? Hordes of children. Whether it's on the football team, whether it's on the track team, working with hordes of children. All the men that take time out to be impressionable to children that aren't theirs. And now y'all have even created, and I say y'all, have now created a society where now no one talks to the little girls. No one tells the little girls right from wrong. Why? Because the little girls have learned that they can weaponize their femininity and go to blue leashing or pit bulling. So they can go make something up, go home and raise their fathers and raise their older brothers and raise their uncles and raise their grandfathers. To the point when these men show up on the scene, they do not even have the emotional capacity to sit there and rationalize what has happened. Because to them, their little baby wouldn't lie to them. And come to find out, that's not always the case. What are we doing? You want to talk about cancer? You want to know what a cancer would be? Cancer would be if all straight black men decided to abandon this current iteration of the black community. Because I am tired of standing in between a young man, his gun, and a brother he's about to get into a fight with because his mother instigated the fight over a goddamn parking spot. That literally happened to me. Where the barrel was no longer in that man's chest, it was in my rib cages. While she was instigating the situation. Talk about dog leashing and pit bullying. And sometimes, man, you just gotta throw your hands up. But I'm gonna let my brother, Dr. Jeff St. James, break it down way better than I could. Check this out.
I want to say this real quick to the gentleman that's watching this. Don't waste your time teaching the unteachable. Leave that. Don't do that in your real everyday life. Let me waste my time on these platforms trying this shit. Okay? If you're not a therapist, if you're not a life coach, if you're not a consultant, don't waste your time. All y'all fellas on all these panels arguing and going back and forth, it ain't going nowhere. Women know. You want to know how they know? Because we see how they move and act when they at work. Kevin said it himself, and I'm going to say it as well. If she treats her coworkers and her boss better than she treats you, she's not the one. My wife got a doctorate. She's doing pretty well. I promise you, she does not treat them better than she treats me. I did not know this at 21. I didn't know this at 24. Thank God I learned this lesson around 30. So the warning I'm going to give to black women and to American women, period, because this is a noticeable issue in westernized culture. When men wake up and realize their worth and value, they're going to stop wasting time with you. That's actually what's going to happen. That little dude with the microphone going back and forth with an overweight black woman that's sassy and got a bad attitude, she's already eliminated before she even opened her mouth, she's eliminated.
So, I couldn't have said it any better myself. And that goes for the rest of the community as well. If y'all want to sit here and sing the praises, hurling these insults, moving in ways that are detrimental to the progress, progression, uplift, and build of straight black men, then there'll soon come a day when you can enjoy the company you keep. No shade to anybody else. But brothers, go where you celebrate it. Because as I always say, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.